next order.
Real people, real radio.
Initiating the truth frequency.
This is Truth Frequency Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to the program one more day. I really, really appreciate it. Love having you guys in the chat room. Absolutely going to be a spectacular show today. And I'll give you guys a little heads up as to why. First of all, my name's JD. We are live right now. This is a very special international edition of the Red Pill Reports radio broadcast, but it's okay. We're still coming to you on your very favorite network for truth and alternative information, Truth Frequency Radio. You can find us at truthfrequencyradio.com. redpillreports.com, and on the dial at 90.7 in beautiful Denver, Colorado. Today's date is the 29th day of May. That officially makes it a Friday, and I'll tell you what, I'm excited today. I gotta be really honest. We do have, as I said, an international flavor for the show today. The one and only Kev Baker taking some time out from his busy schedule to join us on the program today. I gotta say how ridiculously excited I am, because we've been chatting all morning, ladies and gentlemen, about, some woo-ish kind of stuff. I'm not going to lie. It is a Friday, and we do have the woo crew tonight. Of course, the KBS crew will all be there. We'll have Big Marty on. We'll have Johnny Whistles there. I imagine Joe Joseph will be there, and anybody else who wants to join the roundtable discussion. And we will have Anthony Patch on the program tonight. We'll be talking all about CERN. There's new information coming out about CERN and about these acoustical gravitational waves that some people maybe think you can actually hear these trumpet-type sounds coming out of the sky. And we're going to kind of break all of that down a little bit later today. But I'm stupid excited right now, because not only do I get to spend 3 hours tonight with Kev Baker and all of his ancillary goofball friends, but he gets to spend 2 hours with us this morning on our program. So, Kevin, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to be with us this morning, buddy.
Oh, this is just too weird, JD. Tuning in usually at this time, I'm usually sitting back with the boss at work. We listen to this show. He absolutely loves listening to this show. And he isn't exactly the most awake of guys, mm-hmm. but he's really, really starting to open his eyes to all the kind of topics that you cover. And he loves the way in the first hour usually blitz through the news. And then the guests that you get on, man. Wow, I just hope I can actually keep up with some of the people you have on here, dude.
Well, I gotta say, to be perfectly honest, man, I could not do this without Jeff and Rob, the two guys, Robert behind the scenes, working the website, magic, and Jeff is the gentleman who cultivates all of these amazing guests. I have nothing to do with it. I'm just the guy who happens to own a microphone. And to be perfectly honest, us here at Red Pill Reports, we work really hard to try and keep up with you guys over at KBS, because, love the program, love, love, love. I think you guys are kind of a high watermark here on the network. There are a lot of great, great shows here, but you guys with Marty, Johnny Whistles, and not only that, but you guys bring the best guests to the program. Yesterday, Tough Talk, having Robbie on and having Alex on from the Ukraine. It's just amazing to get real insight from ground level in some of these places that, you know, we can't reach out and touch. So again, you know, it's a healthy competition though between us and all the other hosts, and we're trying together collectively to raise the network to a whole new level. And I think we're kind of accomplishing that together, Kevin.
Definitely. And with us obviously on every weekday, it's really good for the listeners to have that continuity. And then you've got Robert Bruce, Roger Sales, all these other great hosts. And I mean, what's it like, man, when we can call on the likes of Chris Geo, Popeye, soon to be new host on the network, Rebecca Roth. When we can call on all of these people for advice, and we're all one big team, we always say it, I know we always say it, but we really are like a family here, man.
It really is, man. And I got the best compliment from another guest or another listener the other day who called me up and we were speaking, and he just said, you know, the thing I like the most about TFR is that it's all basically one giant show. It's everybody works together. There's teamwork. People share guests. And, you know, you can listen to our show in the morning and as we break news, and then listen to KBS or a lot of these other programs too. And, you know, you guys break down stuff in a different way, or you guys might have been able to get more information about a story that we try and break in the morning. And then I'll listen to your show and then try and, you know, backtrack through some of that and see if there's more depth to be brought to the next day. And it's just one giant snowball of information as we're trying to accomplish here, Kev.
Well, you've lived over here in the UK, bro, so you appreciate the fact that our mainstream media, they are different from the media over in the US. And I like to think that myself and Marty and Johnny Whistles, obviously Nano Girl, Robbie, all the other guys that come along as well, but in particular the three of them, we like to go in there, look at the news with our eyes. We go in there to save the listeners having to do it, basically. Mm-hmm. And usually the stories I hear you covering during the day, because they're the top stories out there right now, I take them away. I'll maybe go and do a bit of research from this side of the pond. And it's quite interesting how sometimes the stories either parallel up or they tend to differ.
Isn't that the truth, man? The difference in the media there and the difference in the media here does become pretty astounding once you actually start looking into the details. But, you know, one of the things that I noticed when I lived in the UK that I really respected was that for some reason, even though it's mainstream media, you guys still have a lot of private media over there. You've got, I mean, they're kind of tabloidy newspapers and whatnot, but at the same time, if a politician does something, man, it's like the first six pages is pictures. It's a, you know, everybody gets called out for their bad behavior over there versus here where you just never hear about anything. So
Do they? Is it more orchestrated, JD? Because you find the same companies that own all of the media in the US. Well, guess what? They pretty much marry up with all of the media throughout the world. And then you've got the BBC, who are government funded via people who still stupidly pay that license fee. They're obviously only going to come out with the government propaganda. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it may seem different, but if it's on the mainstream, then it's put out there for a reason.
I agree with that. And especially when you start thinking about politics, I like to think that politicians are just all a bunch of people who wanted to be actors but were not good looking enough to make it in Hollywood. So they went to this other route. You either have them in the media or you have them as a politician. And again, I kind of agree with you that that's all basically a show. So, you know, the media plays its hand in trying to rile people up and do things like that. But at the same time, I have seen more in-depth coverage of, you know, illicit affairs. We don't have any mainstream coverage of the pedophilia stuff that's going on here, and at least you guys are getting touches of that. You're getting some sort of insight from Scotland Yard about, you know, who's going to be investigated and things like that. You really have to dig on our side of the pond to find anything about Jeffrey Epstein or even Mr. Clinton, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And I don't know if I warned you before, JT, that we were obviously covering the Hampstead case now. The BBC were rumoured at the time to be setting up some kind of hit piece on people like myself and others daring to expose these cases. Well, here we are today now, and there's going to be a programme coming out on BBC Radio 4. Now, this is called Satanic Ritual Abuse, An Anatomy of a Panic. And it comes in several episodes, I believe. And this is basically going to be a hit piece and claiming that there is no such thing as satanic ritual abuse.
Wow.
The BBC, with the UK taxpayers' money and licensed payers' money, are going to be going out there and actually rubbishing any claims that anything like this exists. Now, the UK column on the same day as breaking this, they were actually showing a story from the Daily Mail where somebody had been arrested for paedophilia, and it was saying how they were indoctrinating young girls as young as 11 into this ritual, this cult, and they were all wearing hooded robes and carrying out satanic verses. So, for something that doesn't exist, near enough on the same day in the Daily Mail, very real.
That's unbelievable to me. And you know, it kind of reminds me, I forgot to mention this, that you do in fact owe me a new computer monitor right now because of me punching my computer monitor after that clip you played of that idiot yesterday who was talking about essentially the scientific trolls taking to Facebook and putting 5,000 comments up just to see if they could cultivate the crazies to bring them out of the woodwork a little bit. And this woman that you played this clip of yesterday just boggled my mind, man. And it kind of coincides with what we're talking about right now. There's nothing to see here, folks. There's no conspiracies, any of these conspiracy theories. I mean, can you imagine, Kevin, airplanes spraying something from, you know, the back of the planes into the sky? It's just crazy, Kevin. It's just crazy.
It's absolute insanity. And, you know, when she's sitting there and she was saying how these scientists had injected 5,000 comments onto conspiracy threads and stuff like that, I was wondering to myself, how many times have I actually interacted with this kind of commenter? Mm-hmm. Because some of the stuff that you see on social media is just so inflammatory. But for them to put in stuff like chemtrails contains Viagra, it's just totally trying to rubbish the whole topic. And then she was actually showing videos of somebody with a spray bottle in their hand, pointing it up in the sky, spraying vinegar, allegedly, claiming they could clear the chemtrails that are 5 miles up in the atmosphere. And I don't know if you can stomach it, but I do actually still have that clip here.
I'd like to hear it just because I think the audience needs to hear it, because it's just so astounding to me the level that these people go to try and discredit any type of the truth movement by aligning the truth movement with some of these really weird fringe things that weren't even originated from the truth movement. They're originated by these scientists. You could only imagine, Kevin, that these scientists are actually being paid, right, to go and do this. You kind of have to wonder, you know, who's footing that bill. And it's just, the whole thing just reeks to high heaven for me, brother.
And again, it just actually points to the effectiveness of the alternative media and the fact that we must be having an effect with our information if they're having to come out and counter it with stuff like this.
I've spoken in the past about how social media can be a breeding ground for pseudoscientific misinformation. And now there is a brand new study that also claims to look into the Facebook echo chamber that conspiracy theorists live in. And the researchers are claiming that it's so bad that these conspiracy theorists can't even tell when they're being made fun of. Italian researchers demonstrated this by looking at thousands of users who commented on either science news pages or conspiracy theory pages. And what they found was that the people who commented on conspiracy theory pages, by and large, did not interact with any other kinds of pages. So that's that echo chamber effect that we've talked about before. But the fun part of the study came next, when the researchers posted nearly 5,000 troll comments to both the science pages and the conspiracy pages. And in these comments, they tried to make completely ridiculous, unsubstantiated rumors that could really only be taken as satire of the conspiracy theories. So, for instance, one of them was the idea that chemtrails, which are more sanely known as contrails, that's the water vapor clouds that form after airplanes sometimes in the right conditions, chemtrails have been chemically analyzed and found to contain Viagra. So yes, the government is dosing the public with boner pills. The researchers found that compared to the users of the science pages, the conspiracy theorists were much, much, much more likely to like and share those unsubstantiated comments. In other words, they couldn't actually tell the difference between satire and quote-unquote real conspiracy theories. But here's the thing. I also can't differentiate between those two things. When I read the headlines originally about how scientists have proven that conspiracy theorists will believe anything, even the most ridiculous made-up things, I really thought that the researchers were going to go above and beyond to come up with something ridiculous. But if you think that clouds of Viagra are ridiculous, you don't know what conspiracy theorists actually believe about chemtrails. I've done a video on this before. They actually believe that you can dissipate chemtrails 5 miles in the sky by filling up a squirt bottle with vinegar and spritzing it above your head. That's what they actually believe. So why wouldn't they believe that there's Viagra in the air? One of the other obviously false rumors that the researchers came up with was the idea that a free energy machine has been created, which I'm pretty sure is reported on conspiracy theorist websites at least once a week. So if you want to test whether or not conspiracy theorists will believe in absolutely anything, regardless of the truth, you're going to have to work really hard to come up with more ridiculous things than what you could find in the average Alex Jones post. We're talking about people who literally believe that the world economy is controlled by lizard people. Actual lizard people. Do we really need to spend the time and money on scientific studies to determine whether or not they can tell when we're making fun of them?
Well, it's way too early where you live, JD, for me to explain to her that we probably are ruled by reptilian people. However, she says there, why wouldn't we believe that Viagra has been sprayed on us? Well, probably due to the fact that several times people have gone and tested the particulates that fall out of the air. Go to films like What in the World Are We Spraying? Why in the World Are They Spraying? You will actually find that it's nothing like Viagra. And it just angers me, bro, when you hear this kind of crap being spouted and the fact that so many will run with it.
Well, and you can tell, too, that the main goal of this whole thing is to lump all of these conspiracy theorists, quote-unquote, together so that any idea that they might have would be easily discounted at this point. I mean, we're talking about a woman who probably believes that carpet and, you know, office furniture fires can melt steel. This woman is not a stable human being. I'm very interested in finding out who she actually
is. This is the kind of woman that made the word amazeballs cool.
And Hella, you know, she's definitely one of those people that says Hella.
She's cray-cray.
Exactly. Okay, we're digressing. Let's get away from that. But, man, I'll tell you, there's that listening to somebody like that, especially when they're talking about the spraying of vinegar in the air, there are actual instruments that people have built, cloud busters, that are not run on vinegar, but they do project something up into the sky that does seem to break up clouds. There also have been so many people that we've had on the program. I'm sure you guys have had people on your program as well that have talked about free energy and the fact that the world is made of energy. How could there not be a way to tap in? I mean, we had yesterday an unseen or before ever seen interview with Nikola Tesla, and he was saying exactly that back in 1896. You know, his main goal in life was to recharge the atmosphere. He predicted that when he did that, there would actually be rings around the equator, much like Saturn, but said that there was plenty of energy in the world already that all we needed to do was tap into. That sounds a whole lot like the world is a free energy machine to me, Kevin.
Oh, it certainly does. Nikola Tesla, that is music to my ears. And, you know, that will set us up nicely as well as we go into the Freaky Friday tonight, JD, because that's going to tie in very much with the kind of information that Anthony Patch is going to present tonight. And it is new information, folks. And if you stay tuned to this show, in the second part, excuse me, myself and JD, like he was saying, we were kind of batting about a few text messages today, and we think we've kind of uncovered some woo attached to CERN. We're going to lay that out in part two, aren't we, man?
Can you imagine, though, some woo attached to CERN? Say it isn't so, Kevin.
I know. It's not as if it's the kind of place where you get mystery objects turning right up in the vacuum.
We talked to Stan Deo about that yesterday, too, and he was fairly bewildered by that. And we're talking about somebody that's got more letters behind his name than in his name. And when you can bewilder somebody like that with, you know, an unidentified lying object, you know that there's something worth digging into there, Kevin.
And this is when you get into the quantum world, and I don't call myself Quantum Kev for nothing, and that's why I absolutely love these Freaky Fridays. And you know, I think it's going to be worth the listeners hanging on for the CERN woo that we're going to throw out there in part two. What do you reckon?
I totally reckon. But before we do that, let's hop into some regular news today, just because we probably ought to do a service to the audience here and hit on some big stories, especially because a lot of these international stories kind of cover both sides of the pond, and I don't get a chance to talk to you about this stuff nearly as much as I would like to. And the first thing that I'm kind of curious about your take on is this newly disclosed, WikiLeaks just actually disclosed some classified documents coming out of the EU earlier this week, talking about this military response or a potential military response to this refugee situation, all these poor people who are trying to escape out of Syria and Libya and, you know, war-torn Middle East. It makes my blood curl, man. But I'm definitely curious about what your take on this whole thing is.
Well, do you know what makes me angry is the fact that when you speak to the ordinary guy in the street, like us, there's a lot of them over here, are actually moaning because they think, oh, well, we can't be taking any more of these people. Uh-huh. But when you step back and look at this, why are these people leaving these places? In no small part, it's down to our governments bombing the hell out of these places in the first place.
Absolutely.
So we do have a responsibility, JD, and to have some military response, just yet another excuse for something like AFRICOM to actually get its foot in the door and set up bases over there in a continent that is resource rich.
Wow, imagine that. An interest in resources might be the catalyst to all of this. Say it isn't so. And, you know, the other thing I have, you know, in my mind about this whole military response thing is the idea that most of these people are, in fact, coming out of Libya right now. So we have a situation where the EU obviously going to try and sink some of these vessels, but they don't want to sink them with refugees on them because that's obviously going to create some kind of major humanitarian backlash for the governments there. So what they're going to try and do is actually physically get into Libya right there on the coast. Obviously, Assad probably not going to be too supportive of that, and especially given the fact that half of his country has already been lost to ISIS now. When I start thinking about how awful the situation has to be before you would think, I'm going to take my kids and we're going to leave this homeland where we've lived for, you know, thousands of years, and we're going to get on a boat to God only knows where. I almost can't put my mind around how difficult the situation must be that would lead to a decision like that, Kevin.
Exactly. And nobody deserves to live in that country. And the way that we've left that country, look at Tripoli before the actual Gaddafi overthrow. That was a really buzzing place. And some of the policies that he had, if we could have adopted them in the West, I'm telling you, things would have changed overnight. And now go and look at Tripoli today. It looks like something out of World War II. Who can blame these people for wanting to leave there? They're just human beings like us, wanting a life, a normal life. Mm-hmm. They don't have water anymore. Half of them don't have electricity. And the place is lawless. We went in there, we armed up all these gangs and tribes, and then they all, some of them got shipped up to Syria. And what did we do for Libya? Nothing. Because the end goal was always going to be Iran. Okay, we've put the stumbling blocks on it in Syria. But again, Libya, it's just been left to rot. And I can't blame these people. And like you say, you must know that there's people dying actually making the same trip. Mm-hmm. Yet that's a better option than staying. We need to be getting our fingers out. This isn't good enough in 2015.
It's not good enough in 2015, especially, I mean, you hit the nail on the head originally saying, you know, the reason these people are leaving is because of military interaction between the UK government, the United States government, and all our little ancillary buddies in the region. You know, we did this to these people. And to think now that the only, you know, responsible decision is to try and sink these boats as they're coming out is just disgusting to me. And to me, I don't know, man. It's just, it's another situation where the solution is pretty obvious to most people, just not to the government, apparently.
And then what happens when Syria falls? Because unfortunately, it is going to fall eventually.
Absolutely.
Assad can't hold on forever, JD. Where do all those people go? What happens to them? They too are equally deserving of the lives that all of us are actually deserving of. It just angers me, man. It really angers me.
I hear you. Okay, well, we'll step away from that. But I think that it's important to note that both you and I are kind of in agreement on this, is that this is not the right solution, and we probably need to be moving in a different direction. I do want to touch on another story, since you kind of brought up this the idea that that we had actually put these people there. I don't know if you saw this report this morning, but the government watchdog, there's a government watchdog group here in the United States called Judicial Watch, Kevin, and they are absolutely amazing. These guys are relentless when they go after the government with freedom of information requests, and they're not scared of pulling out all the stops in terms of a lawsuit. But Judicial Watch actually published just yesterday more than 100 pages of formerly classified documents from the U.S. Department of Defense and also the State Departments. And these documents, again, were obtained through a federal lawsuit, revealed that the agency's earlier views on ISIS, namely that they were a desirable presence in eastern Syria in 2012, and also that they should be supported in order to isolate the Syrian regime. So one of the Defense Intelligence Agency documents actually declares that President Barack Obama and his counterparts within the coalition considered the establishment of a Salafist organization in eastern Syria in order to further the downfall of the Assad regime. So we've had all of this conjecture out there. A lot of us conspiracy theorists, quote unquote, will say the CIA created ISIS, right? And that is part of a plan to divide Iraq into three separate nations. You can go back and look on YouTube at Israel, people, representatives from Israel back in the early 80s, I think as early as 1982, talking about wanting to fracture the Middle East and fracture Iraq. And so now we have these reports that are coming out basically saying that not only the president and all of the people at the DOD and the State Department know about ISIS, but that they actually fostered them, they armed them, and the whole goal was to create this Salafist organization in eastern Syria. I mean, that is smoking gun evidence right now that we are 1,000% responsible for these poor people who are trying to get out of there on the boats, Kevin.
Oh, definitely. And, you know, you can trace this back all the way to the UK. And it was a year before the Bilderberg at the Grove Hotel. We had the heads of Facebook, DHS, FBI, all the kind of agencies, all the social medias getting together. Nice, cozy little chat about how to start something that became known as the Arab Spring. Now, it sounds mad that the Arab Spring might well be attached to what JD's speaking about here, but it definitely is. Because we followed that from Egypt into Libya. Huh? And then, of course, we armed the Libyans. We trained, well, we supported them with airstrikes, stuff like that. Huh? When Gaddafi fell, we had that arms running operation from the Benghazi safe house, because it wasn't an embassy where Ambassador Stevens was. Don't mistake that, guys. This wasn't somewhere you could come and change your passport. They were shipping guns up into Turkey. Yep. And it was alleged that the Russians went and challenged them over this. And that night, lo and behold, Ambassador Stevens met a very horrible death. Now then you go into Syria, and like J.D. says there, what they've done was they armed somebody that we had been called, or we had been told were called the Free Syrian Army. Mm-hmm. You remember that mob? Those ones that were going to topple Assad? Well, they also had to rebrand Al-Qaeda at the time.
That's right.
Because the conspiracy theorists here, we were breaking down those barriers. And lo and behold, here we are. We've now got basically the evidence that everything we were saying, contradictory to what that woman in that last clip we played said, we've always been right. We're always right. We have built up ISIS, and they are the tool of the globalists.
Just unbelievable. It's unbelievable that the world really is the way that we think it is sometimes, Kevin, because it's not a world that I want to be a part of for very long, I'll tell you that. We've got to go to this quick 3-minute break, ladies and gentlemen. That is the first segment of the international flavor of your Redfield Reports radio broadcast today. We're going to go to this 3-minute break, and we'll be back on the other side. A couple more global war scenes to talk about, and we've got a lot of woo to get to as well. So keep it right here, guys. We'll see you on the other side.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Time and time again.
You need to come here and help us. We need assistance. Please.
Those we should be able to depend on let us down.
Federal and state and local officials saying help is on the way. Well, the folks here in Bell Harbor say show me.
Don't depend on the government to save you. Take action now so that you're prepared for the next disaster with MyPatriotSupply.com. Get the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Call 866-229-0927.
We are hurting down here, and we need help immediately.
Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule 1 drug to hide it behind the marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. HempUSA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
Saturdays and Sundays on Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys so much for hanging out with us through that 3-minute break. I hope you guys are enjoying the international edition of the Red Pill Reports radio broadcast today. Very excited to be having a very nice conversation with the one and only Kev Baker of the Kev Baker Show. I will throw his links to all of his YouTube channels and such in the chat room. Really appreciate all of you guys hanging out in the chat room at truthfrequencyradio.com. Very cool to have the family all together in the morning. Now, Kevin, before the break, we were kind of talking about this military response to the refugee situation and just basically the fact that we, in fact, in the United States did know full well that we were going to put ISIS there and we were going to cultivate them as a force against Assad, and just kind of goes to show that sometimes us conspiracy theorists, well, we kind of hit those nails right on the head. And, you know, I'm excited to be here with you, another person who actually does some research and digs into things, because without people like us, nobody would ever have any idea what's going on, I don't think, because we have to wait until the CIA or some wonderful organization like Judicial Watch comes out and actually discloses some of this stuff so we can know what's going on. I want to talk a little bit today, too, Kevin, about the other global war scene that seems to be kind of unfolding before our eyes right now. We had the report earlier this week of the very coincidental inclusion of a CNN broadcaster on a reconnaissance plane that was flying over some of these contested areas that China is building up in the South China Sea. And the report today, in fact, says that China has now moved weapons out into one of those areas. And, you know, my take on this whole thing, Kevin, is that this is basically a checkmate situation, because we are so beholden to China both economically and also with the products that we get there. I think something like 60 to 80% of the products on the shelves in any of the stores here in the United States come from China. And China right now aggressively doing some expansion out there into the China Sea and offering some pretty staunch warnings. They've come out this week also saying they're going to change their national policy in terms of war, saying that they want to project force much further away from their coastline that they have in the past. And I just wonder if there's anything really fundamentally that we can do to put a slow on the roll of China.
No, I don't think there is, and it's all part of this Shanghai Corporation organization. Oh. You know, it wasn't so long ago, I remember, that China had launched their first aircraft carrier. Now, as an ex-military guy, I'm not saying I'm an expert, but for any superpower, these things are vital. Because if you're wanting to project power, you have to have that mobile kind of base. Yes. That's going to be able to set off somebody's shore. Now, when they launched their first one, they were actually due to launch the next one, and I believe it was in 2024 it was originally dubbed for release. Mm-hmm. Well, their generals, they came back and they told the builders, you best speed up that timetable. And I'm sure it was towards 2020 that is now due, and it might even be sooner than that. And when they've got that, just watch out, folks, because with that and the rise of the BRICS, we're really going to start to see shifts on the geopolitical stage. And I look at that part of the world as being a potential flashpoint as much as, say, Ukraine or the Middle East for some kind of exchange that could lead to something bigger. And don't ever, ever take your eye off that comical character, the guy they love to laugh at in the press, Kim Jong-un.
Oh.
Because he would be a brilliant proxy for China, JD.
That's an interesting idea. I mean, I gotta say though, he is the world's most adorable dictator. I mean, you just feel like he probably gives really good hugs, don't you?
I know, and I really want to apply for the Photoshop job because the guy that they've got just now is pretty crap. I've seen all those pictures of him stand, well, on a boat like 10 feet away from where there was allegedly nuclear submarines launching nuclear weapons out of the water. It was just ridiculous, dude. I could do a better job than that.
I thought that Kim Jong-un selfie was pretty good, man. I don't know. He had a big beaming smile. I'm really impressed with his haircut. I'm calling it the David from 90210, like old 90210. If you get into the old 90210 series, you'll know what I'm talking about, because David had that exact same haircut, high and tight, with a big bouffant on top. And I just wonder how much power actually exists in that guy's haircut.
And, you know, I think when they get together at, like, Bohemian Grove and the Bilderberg, all these world leaders are probably quite envious, because I'm sure all of them would love to be so openly dictatorial in their own countries.
Yes.
They would love to be lining us up in front of anti-aircraft weapons and cutting us in half. That's the mentality that these leaders have, only they don't show it, not openly.
Well, and I totally agree with you that that would be the end game. It seems to me like everybody is trying to reach that point right now. There's been a lot of reports coming out of China this week talking about this social scoring mechanism that they're putting into place, not to mention the wall-to-wall, any public space is going to have cameras now, and it's really being framed up as a social control mechanism. And when they come out and they say, you know, we're not putting these cameras up for your own protection. We're putting them up because we find your morals to be questionable. I find that to be really concerning. And then you've got the same story essentially breaking in the UK right now, where David Cameron came and said, you know, we have been letting you guys just do your own thing for far too long, and there's not going to be safety in just following the law anymore. We're going to basically be meddling more and more into what's going on. But I want to get back to this China thing right now, because I found it really interesting that CNN just happened to be on point when all of these warnings were being broadcast from China. And I understand that you've got some of those warnings on tape. Is that right, Kevin?
I do. I've got an audio clip here. And we were just saying during the break that probably 10, 15 years from now, the CNN guy who's involved in this, he'll have a Brian Williams moment. And he'll be saying there was unicorns going across the water and dragons flying through the air as they were actually intercepted by the Chinese. But if you take a listen to this, maybe it's just me, but it actually sounds a little comical. Take a listen to this.
A foreign military airplane, you are approaching my military secret ear. Please go away quickly in order to run departments.
Station calling U.S. military aircraft. Please identify yourself.
This is the Chinese Navy. This is the Chinese Navy. This is the Chinese Charles Guy. Please go away quickly in order to run judgment.
I am a United States military aircraft conducting lawful military activities outside national airspace. I am operating with due regard as required under international law.
Foreign military aircraft. This is Chinese Navy. You are approaching our military alert zone. Leave immediately in order to avoid misjudgment.
Station calling U.S. military aircraft. Please identify yourself. I am a United States military aircraft conducting lawful military activities outside national airspace. I am operating with due regard as required under international law.
This is Chinese Navy. Please go away quickly in order to avoid long judgment.
JD, this is Chinese Navy. Do you like a bean sauce or fried sprouts with that?
Oh, that's horrible. I don't want to go that route with this, but it does sound somewhat comical, this whole please leave quickly type of thing. But again, they've moved weapons out to this island now that we were basically casing. And, you know, looking at the developments on this island, it does not look like they are gearing up for humanitarian type stuff, which is what they're saying that they're going to do. They built the largest runway in the world. There's not a plane in existence that couldn't land there. And that to me seems pretty significant, Kevin.
You reckon it was operational when MH370 just happened to disappear? And then we had a mysterious corridor of airspace that opened up all the way from, like, Diego Garcia up through Kazakhstan into, like, oh, maybe might even have stopped at one of these islands on the way, man.
That's an interesting idea, man. And that kind of brings us up into another topic of discussion that's happened recently. It was this this airplane that was flying from Singapore to Shanghai the other day. It was a Airbus 300 that just happened to have both of its engines shut off at the same time simultaneously mid-flight. Does that make anybody else go, what in the heck just happened, or is it just me?
Oh, you're speaking to the right man here. This was like something I've been looking out for, actually. And this comes on the back of the German Wings disaster, because in the initial reports for that, we had aviation experts looking at the data, and they couldn't explain this mysterious drop in altitude. And that was the initial reports. Now, they went away after a while, but that stuck with me. And then we also had reports of it was a small Logan Air flight north of Scotland. Now, it dropped 10,000 feet as well, and it said that the autopilot couldn't be disengaged and that the engines had cut out. Now, at the time, we were all covering CERN and stuff like that, and I decided, and I even put in one of my articles that I was going to be watching out for more of these anomalies. Mm-hmm. And here we are. We have another one now. So, what could be causing this? This is the actual big question. Could it be some kind of gravitational effects? We've got to remember that our own magnetic field around the Earth right now, it's already deteriorating anyway. And you've got the North Pole. It's on a wander, the magnetic North Pole. Could it be something to do with that? Are the shields coming down? Are we getting some more kind of solar radiation coming in, like some kind of EMP effect? All questions that really need exploring, at least, I think, JD.
I think so.
If people are going to be continuing to travel by air.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. You know, when you missed one of the other options, to me, has always been the hacking of these planes. And I know I got in a discussion with Rebecca Roth the other day. She was in the chat room. We were kind of talking about this this guy who's wanted by the FBI right now because he, you know, tweeted a bunch of stuff saying he had gotten into the flight systems and they basically been able to alter this aircraft's flight path. And so I was kind of looking into that and talked to Rebecca, and she said there's just no way. There's no way those systems are completely separate. There's no way. Nobody in their right mind would build a system like that. And I thought, well, okay, that's encouraging, but I'm going to go do a little bit of research anyway. And so I was looking up, getting back to the MH370 and the MH17, was trying to figure out if, in fact, those planes could be hacked. And I ran across this very interesting article. I'll drop this into the chat room right now. And this comes out of the Federal Registry. So this is a government webpage, guys. And this is what it's talking about. The Boeing model 777, the 200, 300, and 300ER series. Now, again, we are talking about MH17 and MH370 in this particular case. All of these planes had to have a specific extra license in order to operate. And these special conditions were issued for these Boeing models because these airplanes, and this is a direct quote from Boeing, says, as modified by the Boeing company, they will have novel or unusual design features associated with the architecture and connectivity of passenger service computer network systems to the airplane's critical systems and data networks. This onboard network system will be composed of a network file server, a network extension device, and additional interfaces configured by customer options. So the applicable airworthiness regulations did not contain when they first built this plane, Kevin, do not contain the appropriate safety standards for this design feature. So this is Boeing coming out and saying we had to get a special patent in order to deal with these planes because of the electronic infrastructure that we have built into these planes and the fact that there's no air gap between the entertainment system and the flight controls of these planes. So, you know, I understand that some planes out there potentially are not hackable and do have these air gaps, but I broke this down with Gary Milieski the other day, and he said, first of all, there's no way that anybody put that design into play without realizing the fact that it was a vulnerability. He also said there's no way that somebody would put a vulnerability into a plane like that unless they wanted it to be exploited, and that it is, in fact, an exploitable vulnerability. So I look into that situation and think, man, there is the potential for these planes to be hacked, and it wouldn't take somebody with a whole lot of capability to do it. So I think that's got to be in the list of options as well, Kev.
definitely spot on, man. And with that story even being allowed to come out that somebody could have hacked in via that way, I'm actually thinking that possibly they're setting a narrative for a false flag that they will blame on some kind of cyber attack. Because if that was a genuine flaw and they didn't know about it, they wouldn't want us to actually hear about that. So the fact they're putting that out there, they're laying some kind of groundwork in my conspiratorial mind. And that definitely, definitely fits these actual events where we have the engine switching off and stuff like that. Could it be test runs? Certainly could be, man.
Well, and it could also be, we had the story the other day of Boeing and the Air Force now coming out and saying, oh, by the way, we happen to have drones that can fire EMP-directed weapons. So just put that in your pipe and smoke it, too, because obviously I think it would take some sort of electromagnetic pulse directed at a plane to get both Rolls-Royce engines to shut down. And what really bothers me is they took that plane, it landed in Shanghai, and then they basically inspected it for 2 hours, said there was no anomaly, and let it take off again. And Gary Malevsky, when I was talking to him, he said there's no way he's ever getting on a 777 again, ever. No way.
No, I don't blame him. Or one of these Airbus A330s. I ain't getting on one of them. But you brought up MH17. And we're a while after that's happened now. I think that was back in July last year, was it not?
I believe so.
And yeah, July 17th, I believe, or July 7th. But here we are, May 2015, and I've got a bit more woo on top of this. Now, this came out the other day, and it was saying that one of the gentlemen who actually took a picture of MH17 before he boarded the flight, he actually took a selfie with the plane behind him, saying this is what this looks like in case it goes missing, obviously because of MH370.
Right.
Now, in the photograph, you can actually see the nose wheel flap that is hanging down because obviously the wheels are down.
Okay.
Now, in his photograph, it says Romeo Charlie. Now, the thing is, JD, the actual MH17 should have had the designation Romeo Delta.
Really?
So the picture of the plane that he got onto and did go down as MH17 never actually was the same plane as was registered to be MH17. So what was RC? Where was that plane that day? Well, that plane happened to be taking off from Kuala Lumpur to Mumbai, the opposite direction of the MH17's destination of Kuala Lumpur from Schiphol, Holland. That the plane with the then it says that the plane with the designation RC was 5,000 miles east at the time when a photograph was taken of it, allegedly MH17 in Holland.
Wow. Wow.
So, it just gets stranger and stranger.
Well, and you know, a lot of people think that that MH17 was in fact MH370. And if you understand, to me, it seems like there was a pretty significant incident that happened that day when that plane went down. We had the full-scale assault on Gaza. And there's been a lot of people who have come out and said that was supposed to be the beginning of World War III. We were basically going to blame the destruction of that plane on Russia. And at the same time, Israel was going to launch this huge campaign against Gaza, and we would all be mired in World War III, but it didn't seem to go that route. And again, you bring up MH17. Has anybody seen the black boxes? I mean, didn't they go off to London many, 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 many months ago, and we have no information about that? It seems like if you were going to want to foment war against Russia and you had an ace in the hole, like the black boxes of a plane that they potentially shot down, that would be mainstream news. We would not ever stop hearing about it, but we hear nothing, Kevin.
Exactly. And I must warn people, there's a lot of times I see on social media video evidence taken from the back of some kind of military transport plane where it alleges to show MH17 falling out the sky. Now, for anyone new coming to this information, I've looked at this. Several other people have looked at this. That is not anything to do with what happened that day. And it's yet another example of some of the stuff that comes out, and it can slow us down and deter people from looking at this information. Mm-hmm. But back to MH370, I mean, I really do not know what happened with that. We have no trace whatsoever. Now, one option is the runway at Diego Garcia. Mm-hmm. I've got a few problems with that, though, because how do you get all the airmen and everything else off that base for the time that that plane would have been there before they fly it out up that corridor of airspace that was restricted for an amount of time just shortly after that? So I think it's hard to kind of keep it quiet if you had all of that going on there. So what else could have happened, man? Well, we can't forget that something else fired up that day, and that was CERN. Now, could it be that we had portals opening?
Well, I mean, that certainly is a possibility. There's definitely, it was interesting because they did actually come out on mainstream and start trying to talk about some of these hacking or interdimensional time traveling planes and things like that. But to me, it's like they put this information out kind of like you said, to chum the water, to slow people down, to put them off into false directions and things like that.
You know how I like my predictive programming. And there was a TV series called The Event. It was a couple of years ago now. But the actual opening scenes of that was a big, huge aircraft passenger jet flying along and all of a sudden flying into what could only be described as the event horizon of a black hole. It was basically a wormhole and it had been transported and then it re-emerged flying out of the other end of a black hole, the event horizon, into the location where the president just happened to be having a get together that day. Now, at the time, I thought it was brilliant. The writers of this, they had really thought about it. It was really good TV. And it was good physics behind what they were actually doing as well, albeit theoretical. But then you have a plane in real life, a five-sense reality plane, actually disappearing. And, you know, is it beyond the realms of possibility that even with some kind of blue beam kind of effect, that we'll see a plane emerging from something like the Norway Spiral and flying into somewhere like Las Vegas, and then a nuke going off?
Well, it certainly wouldn't surprise me if something like that happened. I mean, the idea that they show us in pop culture some of the things that they're capable of doesn't surprise me anymore. I mean, I watch all kinds of shows that maybe 10 years ago seemed like they were a little far-fetched, and now you see this stuff, and it's like, well, that already happened. That happened 3 years ago, and here we are. You mean looking at the 9/11 incident. You know, everybody says, oh, nobody could imagine planes flying into buildings except for the writers at the X-Files, apparently, you know?
Exactly, and of course that was the episode called The Lone Gunman. Mm-hmm. And I believe it was Dean Haglund. He actually was one of the actors on the X-Files, and he spoke about how Chris Carter did have contact with people from the Pentagon who would regularly come along with scripts and give them things that they would want put in the actual storylines. So you can make of that what you will, folks. But remember, we're talking about dark magicians here. Mm-hmm. And part of the magician's act is actually showing you it beforehand. Because like good trauma-based mind control victims, if we do nothing about it and then that actually comes to pass, then the magic involved in it, it's multiplied. It sounds total woo and craziness, but when you look at what these characters are into, myself and you were talking about the cremation of care. Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't make sense to us, but on a vibrational level, it makes a lot of sense to people who know what they're doing.
That's right, and I think it's important to remember that it all comes down to intention, and if you don't understand what these people's real intentions are, it's difficult to think about what the end game might be from some of them, you know?
And, you know, as we go into the second part of the show, we're going to be talking about intentions and vibrations and stuff like that. But I did see a question from the chat, JD, and it was reference this mystery object at CERN. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, we've got Mr. Patch on tonight, but this was something I covered at the time. And it was one of the professors at CERN. He's in charge of the CMS detector. He was saying that they had detected a mysterious lying object in one of the actual vacuum pipes at CERN. Now, he was saying at the time that they didn't really know what it was, but they were going to keep an eye on it. Now, if you know anything about quantum physics, as this guy obviously does, that was like a kind of tongue-in-cheek joke to anyone who knows what they're looking at there.
Right.
Because when he says by keeping an eye on something, well, that has a really, really profound effect in the quantum world. Now, this object, as it is right now, in that tube, it's neither here nor there. And that's because right now nobody is observing it. And if you haven't checked out something called the double slit experiment, I urge you to do that on YouTube, obviously after the show. But this is all to do with the quantum effect of somebody actually, the power of observing. The minute you go to measure something, you collapse it into one state or the other.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, the physicists there, JD, they're quite happy to have this unobserved because then it's neither here nor there. But this could literally be evidence of something coming through the veil into the actual tube where they said they were going to be ripping the veil and looking into other dimensions.
It makes me wonder if something from another dimension is looking back at us, but I find it really interesting that you're bringing up this idea of observation, because I fully agree with you that in a quantum physics world, this idea of observation is kind of the foundation to everything. It's our, you know, ability
to put it on a, sorry, JD, but to put it on a kind of layman's terms, because sometimes quantum physics, it can scare people away, but most people have heard the phrase where people say, if a tree falls in the forest and nobody's there, will it actually make a sound?
Uh-huh.
Well, that's basically quantum physics, because there's nobody actually there to measure it or audibly hear what is going on. So it both makes a sound and doesn't make a sound.
It's like Schrodinger's tree to a certain
yes,
extent.
Yes, it's MH370 is Schrodinger's plane.
That's right.
Because until we clap eyes on that plane and those passengers, in a quantum world, they are both dead and alive.
Wow, what a crazy planet we live on, man. And I'll tell you what, these experiments that are going on at CERN, they get more concerning to me as the time goes on. You know, we had the report, what was it, last week that you broke, that they had actually gotten to the highest level that they've been able to achieve so far, Kevin?
They have, yes, but this does differ from what will be happening come September time. That's when they really start smashing the furniture about, because right now they're just focusing the beams and they're hitting detectors. And if you've seen these faces appearing demonic on YouTube, that's the actual collimators that are right now being tuned for the potential big bangs, literally big bangs, coming in September. And of course, everyone pointing to September. Jubilee, we've got the blood moon, we've got the Pope going to Congress. We've got everything coming up in September.
Yeah, and that date just does seem to keep coming up again. Can't forget Mrs. Christine Lagarde coming out and talking about numerology and the power of seven, or September, as I like to say. And you also have the big UN meeting that's getting ready to happen in the United States. I think it's the 26th and 27th
and
of September.
Yeah, this is actually the 70th get-together.
Is it?
Yes.
That's all coincidental. It's all coincidence, ladies and gentlemen. There's nothing to see here. Just go about your business. Buy more cars and jewelry. And if not, the terrorists win. That's really what the message of the show is today. We have to go to this quick 3-minute break, you guys. We will have plenty more fantastic discussion with our very special guest, Kev Baker, when we come back from this break. And we will kind of dip into the woo a little bit. I promise I'll give you some economic numbers when we get back to, because there's a couple things we do need to talk about. But really appreciate you guys being along for the ride. More than 30 in the chat room right now. You guys keep it right there. We will see you on the other side. Love to you all.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR. Did you know that the blue lotus flower was used by the ancient Egyptians as an aphrodisiac to experience feelings of euphoria and ecstasy? And ecstasy. And ecstasy. Did you know that Thai kratom was used by the Buddhist monks to produce a relaxing and dreamlike state? Did you know San Pedro cactus was used by the Native Americans to quest for visions and heal the body? Bouncing Bear Botanicals is your number one supplier of rare and sacred plants and a proud sponsor of Truth Frequency Radio. by clicking on the banner at truthfrequencyradio.com, you can learn more about a vast selection of entheogens, including Amanita muscaria, also known as the sacred mushroom. So click on the banner at truthfrequencyradio.com, and you'll also get up to $40 off your next order.
Judith Baker was once a promising science student who dreamed of finding a cure for cancer. This exposé is an account of how she strayed from a path of mainstream scholarship to a life of espionage in New Orleans with Lee Harvey Oswald. In her narrative, she offers extensive documentation on how she came to be a cancer expert and what led to her involvement in the development of a biological weapon that Oswald was to smuggle into Cuba to eliminate Fidel Castro. Details on what she knew of Kennedy's impending assassination and her belief that Oswald was a deep cover intelligence agent who was framed for an assassination he was actually trying to prevent are also revealed. Me and Lee by Judith Baker. Special JFK 50th Anniversary Signed Limited Edition. $30 including shipping. Limited number of these available. Order your copy today at federaljack.com/store.
No hate. No hype. No fear. We are TFFR. Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us through that 3-minute break. We are moving into the second hour of the International Red Pill Reports radio broadcast today. And I tell you what, I thought I was excited the first hour because obviously being joined by the one and only Kev Baker is stupid exciting for us here at the Red Pill. Just so much fun getting a chance to chat with him. But we have upped the ante here, ladies and gentlemen. The one and only Marty from KBS has also joined the broadcast with us today. And so we're just becoming more and more international. And Marty, just to kind of get you up to speed, we're kind of pre-wooing tonight is kind of what we're doing. We're really excited to have you welcoming Anthony Patch back to the program tonight. I know Marty and Kev will be on that with us, and also Johnny Whistles and probably Joe Joseph and anybody else that wants to tune in. But I'm very excited to be welcoming the one and only Martin to the broadcast today. Marty, thanks for joining us this morning.
Hey, such a pleasure to actually be on the Red Pill Reports first time.
Oh, it is the first time, isn't it? Oh man, we're breaking the Red Pill cherry of Mr. Martin today. This is awesome.
Thanks for the invite there. I didn't know if I could make it, but I got home early, so I thought, why not? Here
well,
I am.
We really appreciate it, man. Again, any type of insight that the KBS crew can offer to us and our listeners, man, we really, really appreciate it. And Marty, we've been kind of talking about this engine shutdown on that plane that was traveling from Singapore to Shanghai. I don't know if you saw that story, but just the other day, you know, mid-flight, 39,000 feet, and all of a sudden, no engines. They dropped like 13,000 feet and tried to kick it back on. And we're kind of wondering what in the world might have happened there. Do you have any idea on your end what you're thinking on that?
Well, that's actually the first I've heard of it, so forgive me for that one, but it does seem very similar to the story of the other plane that just did a descent to its crashing death. Very strange.
Right?
Ah, yes, there's the KBS coming out now, Marty.
We're talking about the German Wings plane there, but Kevin, before the break, you had mentioned that there was another plane in, was it in northern Scotland that had the same thing happen, and I had totally missed that. Am I correct in that?
This was a small flight, it was just like a small plane that was flying from Aberdeen to, it was the Orkney or Shetland Islands, mm-hmm. and it experienced something very similar to what this plane experienced at the weekend, or just during the week. And it fell out of the sky. It said that the autopilot couldn't be disengaged. The engines, something happened to the engines. And then thankfully, just a few thousand feet from disaster, it was retrieved by the pilot. But if you look at all the actual circumstances, they all seem to match up. There's parallels between all these stories. And one last interesting fact on that incident, when you look at ley lines and things like that, and we obviously talk about CERN in connection to the German Wings crash, well, if they are activating all these natural vortex points on the planet, just so happens we've got a major convergence of ley lines round about the area where that went down.
Wow, really? Man. Mm-hmm. I'll tell
and
you what.
And where the Singapore one was, that is also close to something called the Dragon's Triangle. Very similar to the Bermuda Triangle.
Is it really? That's a phrase that I've never heard before, the Dragon Triangle, but it's not surprising.
Well, it was Rebecca Roth, actually. She confirmed that for me because I was a bit wary whether that was one or not, and she said, yes, that definitely is something.
Well, either way, there is a lot going on with these aircrafts right now, and I'm kind of concerned about anybody who might be getting on one of these planes. And Kevin, you kind of hit the nail on the head earlier, I think, when you were talking about the disclosure of the hacking capabilities, or, you know, the potential hacking of these planes kind of being a setup, you know, in terms of, getting us all kind of acclimated to this idea that there might be some sort of economic attack or cyber attack. And I just wanted to point out, you know, speaking with both Kenneth Shorchin earlier this week and also Gary Milievsky, just as a side note, you know, we had the story about the IRS being hacked this week and the new information coming out from the State Department. Wouldn't you know it, it was the Russians, guys. So we're now, you know, apparently the most important database really for Americans is the IRS database because there's everything in the world about you in that database. Now, you know, potentially being hacked by Russia. So do you think they are setting the stage for something there? We also had the Federal Reserve in St. Louis get hacked and had their DNS servers get scrambled. So I really feel like we are being led down this path to believe that there could be some sort of massive cyber attack.
And we were talking about modern culture and things like that. And I was telling Marty about a new program that started, and this is called Mr. Robot. And this is all about hacking, folks, and the storyline, without giving anything away, is basically these hackers determined to take down the 1%. So again, all this hacking stuff, Marty, it certainly seems to be out there in the media, in the modern culture, and I was putting it to JD that when stories like the one where we had a guy allegedly hacking a plane via the entertainment system, when that's allowed to come out in the media, that makes me think they're going to be promoting or pushing a story like that sometime soon.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they've been pushing that narrative for the last couple of months now, saying how these commercial airliners could just be hacked out of the sky. But don't worry, folks, because we're looking into it. You know, it just makes you laugh. But the whole hacking narrative has definitely been building up. Not just the planes, though. They've been telling us over in the UK that our national grid could be hacked and we could be left in darkness. I don't know if anybody remembers that documentary. But definitely, I think as this technological world progresses, the threat of hacking is very real. And it just depends who's doing the hacking, I suppose.
I fully agree with that too, Marty. You know, I'm still kind of geared up on this whole Boeing disclosure regarding the EMP weapons that they've got on the drones now. And I'm wondering if potentially this plane coming out of Singapore, maybe there was somebody on there that they didn't want to be alive anymore. And it seems like this would be a really great way to go out and test these EMP style weapons. And I don't know, you know, if there was a hacker on board, like this guy that the FBI is looking for now, you know, it's one thing to hack into a system, but it's another thing to hack into a system and shut the engines off of the plane that you're actually on. That seems to be like that'd be a little bit far, for some pen tester guy to want to go. So I kind of bring this back to what in the world could actually make two titanium Rolls-Royce engines shut down mid-flight. And the only thing I can really come up with, is some sort of EMP style attack, guys.
Maybe they're the kind of engines that disintegrate into nothing when they hit towers.
I don't know,
just saying.
I think Rolls-Royce stopped making those in the early 2000s, didn't they? I thought maybe.
Yeah, the paper engines.
But I don't know. I mean, to me, it's just, there's another thing that's just out there that we all have to pay attention to. And again, you know, talking to Gary the other day about the Boeing 777 series, he just says there's no way on God's green earth that he would get onto one of those planes now, knowing what we know about the interconnectedness between the flight systems and the entertainment systems. So. I don't know, gentlemen. There's a lot to think about here today. I do want to hop into really quickly the investing stuff right now, just because I try and give the numbers to people every day. I don't want anybody to be missing out. So, and it is also the last day of May right now, and there is that old adage, sell in May and go away. So we potentially here on a Friday could see a little dip in the Dow. Looking at it right now, we are down about 100 points. We're still above the 18,000 mark, so I guess happy days are still here. S&P down just a touch today, 2,100. Dollar index still on the rise. We're just a touch below $97 or 97 points on that. The euro up a little bit today at 109, and also Bitcoin taking a little bit of a drop today, 237 Also gold up a little bit today, but not nearly at the 1220 mark. So we're still at 1190. Again, a great opportunity to be getting into precious metals right now while the dollar index is high and gold is down. That's a $30 discount from where it was just a couple of weeks ago. So a lot of gains to be made there, or at least a lot of hedge to be had in that. Also, silver up today, $16.71 big pennies, and crude oil sitting pretty squarely at $59 today. Thank you, gentlemen, for letting me get those numbers out to the people. Just wanted to make sure everybody knows what's going on with the markets right now. Want to kind of touch, before we get back into the woo, just because you guys are there in the UK, and I'm curious about, in your social circles, if you guys are starting to talk about the potential of a Grexit or even a Brexit, you know, and what that might actually do to you guys in terms of the economy over there. Is that something you guys are paying attention to or not?
It's something I'm not paying attention to, but when it comes to Greece, I'm actually wondering how long it's going to be before they get into bed, not literally, with Vladimir Putin and the BRICS. I'm wondering when the big, big, big money is going to come. And, you know, I actually want to see the euro go away. It's a horrible, horrible, horrible thing where you end up having to give up your sovereignty and they dictate most of your laws from an unelected kind of government sitting in Brussels. Nah, it's not for me, man.
I agree. And then, you know, a really good example of that is this whole refugee, you know, quota system where they're basically going to say, okay, all of your nations, we're just going to divvy up all of these people who are coming here and stick them into your communities. And I know that Britain especially is really not down for that. I know the Prime Minister from Hungary also said no way, no how, but that's the deal. You guys joined the EU and you don't have a say in the matter anymore. So, you know, any type of decree that comes down from those elites on high, you guys are going to be subject to, you know?
We're used to being subjects over here, Marty, aren't we? With the reptilians sitting down in Buckingham.
Well, this really is the nanny state. I know I keep saying that, but I can't reiterate that point more enough than what I do. So, yeah.
I just found it astounding that the Queen of England would be sitting on a golden throne with a million-dollar hat on saying that we need to push more austerity onto the people. How have you guys not burnt down Buckingham Palace at this point? Like, seriously, what is going on over there?
It's okay, man, because our Prime Minister, he's got it all under control. The walking, talking sausage that is David Cameron. I'm living in Glasgow, man, where I get letters through the door telling me how food banks can't keep up with the supply. So David Cameron, is he dealing with the royal family? No. Is he dealing with the food banks? No, he's over in Brussels and he's talking about the FIFA scandal. Oh. Yeah, priorities, man.
Oh, just great so job. I mean, seriously, let's talk on that FIFA thing for just a second, because I don't know if a lot of people understand this, but it was the FBI that went in and actually did this. First of all, the FBI doesn't have a foreign government mandate. The FBI only operates here in the United States, so very unusual that they would be over in where was it in Switzerland, that they actually made some of these arrests in Geneva. But at the same time, we're going to let all of these banks that have basically destroyed our country over the last 7 years, we're going to go ahead and call these guys running the banks felons, but we're going to go ahead and let them just continue to operate as normal. And let's go focus on the FIFA situation right now. How ridiculous is this?
It really is. And over here in the UK, I like to dip my toe in the mainstream, and it is constant FIFA and it is a distraction. However, the one positive I will try and take out of it is that this corruption's always been going on, and hopefully we're now moving into a time and an age and an energy, a vibration, where these kind of things, they won't ride anymore. They'll come to the surface, albeit eventually, but let's just hope this is a symptom of the things to come.
I agree. Marty, what do you think about that?
Oh, that whole FIFA thing? I mean, to be honest, I've always kind of known that those big organisations and things like that are just totally corrupt, man. I mean, millions of pounds per month for these footballers and stuff, and you've got people starving and can't even afford a grain of rice and stuff. The whole thing just angers me, really, the money side to it. Yeah. Not so much football and the people and the culture and stuff, but just this whole money thing, you know, and just how the crying corruption now, when we know it's probably always been like that. I just wish they'd make as much noise about the government corruption than they are about the FIFA stuff.
I agree. And I think that's why they're keeping that stuff on the front page. But anytime you see a guy wearing a $10,000 suit, you kind of have to automatically assume there might be a little bit of corruption going on there, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Totally corrupt. I think a lot of these sports organizations are probably the same. Just to benefit the guys at the top running it, while me and you just go and pay, what is it, like $100 for a ticket for some of these games?
Right. Not me,
well,
brother.
Here's the thing. If I want to take my son to the local team at Celtic, that's the big team that we're into here in Glasgow. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it can cost me about $100 by the time I've got the tickets. And then that's before it, well, maybe $100 and I'll all in, maybe get one drink for us each at the game as well.
Right.
And no, it's supposed to be for, it's supposed to be for the working man. Mm-hmm. And yet these players are on the pitch getting, in England, some of them upwards of £100,000 a week. Now that's $200,000 a week.
What?
You know, you see some of them. Yeah, some of the big Premiership footballers are on £120,000 per week. Your Manchester United's, your Man City's. Now, that's $240,000 a week. And yet they can't even have the time, most of them, to sign an autograph for a wee guy or something like that.
Right.
Who gives up his time. I absolutely idolizing these people. And then, as I was saying, in the same city up here in Glasgow, we've got food banks that can't keep up, man. There's something far wrong with the world.
I agree. Man, well, it's all this bread and circus nonsense. And I tell you, I don't really watch sports. I know you and I, Kev, watched the boxing match, which was barely a boxing match
Love
the
it.
Other day. It was cool.
Oh, come on, man. Mayweather is a defensive genius.
He was good, yeah, but I wanted to see actually some fighting. I didn't want to see a chess match, man. I wanted to see a fight, and then we didn't
see
that.
I'm the same
that.
As you, dude. I wanted a war. I wanted toe-to-toe action, and
we
never
waited 5 years
it.
For that? I mean, come on, really? And now they're saying, well, there's probably going to be another match because, what's his
this
name?
This is the same people as Marty was talking about, because the people behind that, the matchmakers, they built that up for 5 years. They could
Absolutely.
Have thought 5 years ago, but they decided to hype it and build it, and with clever advertising and propaganda, boom, you've got the most expensive fight in the world. And all these guys at the top who had nothing to do with any of the fight, they'll be making millions off that.
That's right. That's right. Well, anyway, so we're corrupt. Everything's corrupt, and I try not to watch sports. I do want to say baseball could be improved if every once in a while they just released a live lion onto the field. That would be a sport I would watch. We'd bring up a whole bunch of dudes from the minors. We'd be able to see how fast these guys could actually run. I think that's a sport I would watch. You know, oh, he's going back to the wall for a high fly, and oh, there's a lion mauling him. You know, that I would tune into. So if they wanted to go that route, I would probably get involved. Anyway, let's get back on track with the radio show here today, guys, because, Kev, I know you had some Earth change news that you wanted to cover. Lots of stuff. We had this idea of the planetary alignments yesterday and people saying, oh, it's not, nothing's going to happen. But did anything happen as a result of that, Kev?
Well, we've certainly had some activity going on because we've had a volcano over in Japan blowing off, and it's called Mount Shindake. And it's exploded. Now, it's not the first time this has exploded by any means, guys, but we've also had a 6.7 earthquake up near Alaska. Now, that's been followed by a heap of aftershocks, the latest of which was a 4.9. Now, that in itself is quite a sizable quake when you think about it. We've also had another sizable one in Nepal today, and they're still trying to recover from the mega quake that they had. And if you think of some of the structural damage that was done with these first quakes in Nepal, all it takes is a little aftershock for real hell to be rained down on people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Marty, he looks at these earth changes as well. To me, it seems to be that things really are picking up. And I'll hand over to Marty for his thoughts on this.
Yeah, you could definitely say that the ring of fire and all around that area is quite active at the moment. And if you look at it, it sort of seems that you'll see a big quake in one place and then it seems to reverberate across the ocean to another part, which is obviously because all these big plates joining up and stuff like that. But it is leaving a bit of worry for the guys over on the California coast there, especially due to Hollywood and their new predictive programming, San Andreas,
right?
The big movie there. So, yeah, that's going to get people a little shaky, pardon the pun.
I don't know. They're calling it a, pardon. That was a great pun, by the way. They're calling it a feel good disaster movie though, Martin. So, you know, maybe everything's going to be okay if we have a 9.0 earthquake in California.
Well, the Rock's in it. So yeah.
Yeah. Right. Well,
and
yeah.
It's not even the only one because there was a B movie came out this week as well called San Andreas Quake. Now they're obviously trying to coin in the timing of this with the bigger film coming out. But there's two films now, and if it comes to predictive programming, well, they've just doubled their intent.
That's true, and I hadn't seen that I saw something about the San Andreas Quake movie, but I thought it was the same movie It's interesting that you say that those are actually two separate films, but I mean, that is a double dose of predictive programming.
I thought I'd been smart. I thought I'd found the San Andreas with the rock on one of the torrent streams, downloaded it, and here I was greeted by a B-movie. But I actually like the B-movies because they don't have the money and the effects. They have to do more with the storyline.
Right. That's interesting. That's interesting. We won't get into torrents right now because we don't want to encourage anybody to be doing stuff like that, you know, bad stuff.
Oh, obviously. Obviously not, man. Obviously.
Right, right. Well, Kevin, since we are gearing up for a pretty amazing Woo crew tonight, should we try and maybe prime the pumps a little bit? Do you have any extra Woo that you could drop on us this morning, brother?
Yeah, you know I've got extra Woo. And unfortunately, this all came together in my head just over the past few hours. Now, I don't know if people have noticed the new viral craze that's happening at the moment. And this is basically the Charlie craze. Mm-hmm. Now, we've had the ice bucket challenge, stuff like that. But this is a creepy Charlie challenge, and it's been spreading across Twitter. And what they're doing, folks, is they're actually trying, allegedly, apparently, to summon some kind of Mexican demon. Now, I've got a couple of clips here that I've looped together, and I'll let you listen to that. But if you just listen to this, this is what's going on in the bedrooms of young people around the world right now. So I'll just cue this up. Here we go.
Charlie, are you here? Charlie,
are you right here?
Charlie, are you here?
Charlie, are you right here?
So there you go. This is people obviously doing this Charlie challenge. Now what they do is you get a piece of paper. Not that I'm telling people to do this. I certainly am going to try it. You get a bit of paper and you draw one line up the middle and a line right across it. So you've got a cross basically. You put yes, no in the top boxes and no, yes in the bottom boxes. Then what you do, you take two pencils and you line them up and cross and actually balance them along as if they're sitting along the two lines that you drew. Now, when you look at that, obviously you guys know I live down the CERN hole. Now, you're crossing pencils. So you can really think on a kind of macro level, it's kind of similar to crossing beams at CERN. And when you're talking about CERN, what have we heard these physicists saying they're doing? They're trying to literally open portholes to other dimensions. Now, I know this sounds crazy, guys, but on a smaller level, is that not almost what we're seeing here by the calling of Charlie trying to summon a demon? And then that got me thinking even more about this because something was niggling away at me. And it's this whole Charlie thing. Now, I don't know if there's anything in the experiment, but we always speak about frequencies and vibrations on this show. And if you can get enough people sitting around the world at different times of the day, constantly, Charlie, could it be like you're building some kind of rhythmic kind of energy, some kind of low vibrational Charlie? And then when I was saying it to myself, it sounds awfully like Kali. Now, Kali is actually, get this, an ancient god. Now, if you think back to when Miley Cyrus was doing her twerking and sticking the tongue out and things like that.
I prefer not to, but okay.
Okay, bear with me here. We have Jamie Hanshaw on both our shows. Mm-hmm. Her and Freeman were talking about the fact that she was actually representing or symbolizing the god Kali. Now, I went and looked at the images of Kali. And it struck me right away, and I sent you the image, JD, and I'll send it to the chat room in a moment. But if you type in K-A-L-I into Google and go to Google Images, you'll see something that is strikingly similar to Shiva. Now, Shiva, of course, sits in the grounds of CERN and is described as the destroyer and the creator of worlds. Ooh. So I went and looked into Kali. Now, just take a listen to this. Now, Kali is also known as Kalika, and it is the Hindu goddess associated with empowerment, or Shakti. She is the fierce aspect of the goddess Durga. The name Kali comes from Kala, which means black, time. death, Lord of the Dance, or Lord of the Death. Then it goes on to say that Shiva, since Shiva is called Kala, the eternal time, the name of Kali, his consort, also means time or death. Hence, Kali is the goddess of time, change, power, and destruction. And the fact that this goes hand in hand with that deity, Shiva, over at CERN, when they, on the massive level, are crossing beams, trying to open portals, we have the partner of that almost been summoned up in this micro kind of level with the crossing of pencils to represent the opening of a portal. Bit woo for this time of the day, guys?
I'll tell you what, I don't think that's too woo for this time of day at all. And to be perfectly honest, that kind of freaks me out a little bit, Kevin, having the goddess of time and the lord of death basically guarding the front entrance of CERN. And then, you know, let's throw our mind back to that interpretive dance that CERN put out the other day called Symmetry. And I'll tell you, looking at that, it looks a whole lot like the destruction of time being represented in a dance form, don't you think?
I mean, this is it's crazy stuff. And like we said, we're only putting this together kind of before the show. And I think if we dig deeper into this is going to go to a whole new level of woo. But Marty, that's the first time you've probably heard that. The whole Charlotte, the Kali, you deal with vibrations and stuff like that. And the fact that it's connected to Shiva over at CERN, what do you make of that, man?
Yeah, very, very good timing, I'd say, for those guys and whoever's really put this meme out there for young kids to jump on. When you really look at it, it's just a makeshift version of a Ouija board.
It does seem to be, yeah.
We've also had a Vatican-approved exorcist that's come out today warning people against the dangers of playing such a game. And he goes on to say that this will result in the spirits being able to enter, you know, into even more frequent communication, and you might not be able to get rid of them, sort of thing. So I'm not really trying to back up the dude from the Vatican there, but I'd say that playing with this stuff is dangerous.
Well, and that's interesting. I got to cut you off because that's interesting that you mentioned that, because one of the tricks of this game from the research that I've done is that they say that it's very important to say goodbye to this entity, Charlie, whenever he shows up, or you will run the risk of him basically hanging out with you forever. So that's really interesting that you bring that up, Marty.
That is the same, because even in Ouija boards, you have to actually dispel the demon before you actually leave, or the entity. And you know, somebody in the chat room, I think it was Hyperborean, came up with a good one there. How many people were chanting about Je suis Charlie not too long ago?
Oh, wow. I didn't even think of that. Man, we've got the best listeners on the planet at TFR. I tell you what, these guys are so freaking smart, Kevin. They could all have their own shows as far as I'm concerned. We have to go to a 3-minute break, guys. We've squandered another half an hour getting ready to chat here. So when we come back, we will keep going with this crazy conversation about woo and what's really going on at CERN, kind of priming the pumps tonight for our Anthony Patch special guest on Freaky Friday. Really, really great stuff. Appreciate you and Martin being here today. Absolutely epic stuff. Appreciate all of you guys in the chat room too. So hang right there. We'll see you guys on the other side.
So you want the news and information without the hate, the hype, the fear. Well, you've come to the right place. You can support Truth Frequency Radio by spreading the word on social networking sites like Facebook, Twitter, or your favorite forums. Want to take Truth Frequency Radio on the road? Listen on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, or other mobile devices. Want more than just the free stuff? Sign up for a VIP membership for as little as $4 a month and get super high-quality downloads, member-only content, and instant access to your favorite shows without the wait. It's only through your loving support that we're able to cover the cost and continue broadcasting. So now, stay tuned for more Free Speech Radio right here on the Truth Frequency Radio Network. KTFRN. Worldwide. Doctors don't want you to know about iodine because it allows the body to heal itself quickly and permanently. Iodine Now is a complete powder formulation that will load iodine into the body with vitamin C for the best possible absorption. Iodine Now, available by the case and for protection from radiation, fluoride, chlorine, and bromine.
including all heavy metals. We believe that this is the main element that humans need more than any other at this time. This formulation is infused with our bioactive aerobic rare earth nutrient powder that has a powerful negative charge that attracts positive toxins. Why not buy one product that does the job of 20 and saves you space, time, and money, has a storage life of 100 years, all for about $18 a month. Call 888-910-4367 or visit hempusa.org. Call 888-910-4367. Bringing back the universal medicine for mankind. Iodine now, only at hempusa.org.
Here at MyPatriotSupply.com, our customers are number one. Built on a self-sustaining business model, we don't owe our existence to big banks or big business. Instead, the company was built by you, the customer. The success of My Patriot Supply is a testimony to the loyalty and dedication of each and every one of you, to our old-fashioned values and top-rated customer service. These elements alone have made us the number one choice of patriots everywhere. We believe that being prepared should not be a luxury reserved by people with large disposable incomes, which is why we have the products you need at the prices you can afford. We bring you our Patriot Pantry brand of storable food, which features top-of-the-line flavors and carefully packed to store for 25 years. Plus water purification systems, non-GMO heirloom seeds, survival gear, and much, much more. Visit MyPatriotSupply.com or call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Free FM with Nathan Frazier.
Sundays on True Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys so much for hanging out with us through that 3-minute break. We are moving into the final segment today of our International Flavor Red Pill Reports radio broadcast. We are joined by two of the outstanding members of KBS, both Kev Baker and Mr. Martin Hardy, joining us for the full 2 hours today. It's been an absolute pleasure getting to chat with you guys, and we are kind of working our way down the woo hole right now. And, you know, I wanted to know, Kev, if you have done any research or if you made any correlations between these crazy trumpet sounds that we keep hearing from, you know, YouTube videos that are emanating from the sky. Do you feel like there might be some sort of, A, do you think it's a real thing? And B, do you think there might be some correlation between that and CERN? And the reason I'm bringing this up, gentlemen, is because there was a new article that broke today, and you guys might find this very interesting. I will go ahead and throw it in the chat for both of you and also the chat room. Scientists have now been able to levitate objects using nothing but sound. Imagine that! What a novel idea, levitating objects with sound. But again, disclosure, mainstream media saying, here we are, researchers in Switzerland developing a new way to transport small objects using nothing but sound. And I'm just wondering what you guys think about that and if there's a correlation between CERN and maybe some of these sounds that were emanating. You know, is that part of the opening up of extra worlds, or what do you guys think about all of that?
Well, I do know we'll be coming tonight that this is one topic that we are going to be going into in depth with Mr. Anthony Patch. So I don't really want to steal any of his thunder on that one just now, but it's definitely something that's real. Now, Marty, you'll definitely back me up here because there's a heck of a lot of fakes out there as well. But even one of these events been real, which I definitely believe at least one of them has been, then we will have an explanation for that on the show tonight. And I don't mean to be like that, JD. I'm horrible, I know, but just dropping a little cherry there, a little nugget for people to tune in tonight. That's one of the things we'll be covering tonight.
I love it. Marty, what do you think about those strange sounds emanating from the sky, brother?
Well, I've got to agree with Kev. Some of them do appear to be real. However, some of them, I don't know, through years of messing with synthesis and different kind of VST plugins and instruments and stuff, I could kind of create one of those sounds.
Mm-hmm.
So I find it hard to believe some of them, if you know what I mean. I actually said to Kev last night off air that I was thinking of actually making one of these videos in my local city and just trying to put one of these sounds to it and look up at the sky and say, oh, God, can you hear that? Oh, what is it? What is it? And try and get a couple of people in the in the crowd to sort of react as well as a little bit of a social experiment, but I couldn't actually do it because there would be some people out there that would take that as another sign that the end is near. I just couldn't do it. But however, I wouldn't like to muddy the waters. I'd say that it is very possible from the stuff that's actually going on with the planet now, and whether that could cause some of these noises in the sky or whether they're engineered tunnel digging, I really don't know. It's total speculation, but I could actually make one of those sounds, so I can't really say either way.
Mm-hmm. Well, and in that vein, Marty, what would it actually take? I mean, because I've had the same thought. First of all, two summers ago when I live here in middle of Missouri, which is exceptionally rural, and my parents have a house that kind of overlooks the river. There's nothing around. I mean, we're talking middle of nowhere, essentially, right? And a couple of summers ago, we were standing on the porch, my mother and I, and all of a sudden, from over the horizon, the sound comes, and it sounds like somebody has picked up two Golden Gate Bridges and is rubbing them together. And it's interesting that you bring up this idea of the tunneling, because to me, that really is exactly what it sounded like. It sounded like giant metal machinery, you know, reverberating in a way. And it lasted probably like 4 minutes. I mean, it was pretty substantial. And I was wondering, you know, if you were to try and actually go out and duplicate that, obviously you get a copy of the Transformers and you bring that down as a wave file and you start using some of those sound effects. But what would it actually take to project that into the sky in a way that would be loud enough where people couldn't, you know, pinpoint a location? Have you actually tried to figure out what it would take to duplicate something like that, Martin?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You can hear that reverberation, definitely. There's some major reverbs going on, which lead you to believe that if it's coming from the sky, it's quite a big sound, and it's traveling quite a big distance to get that sort of sound. Whether that's been projected up into the sky or not, I wouldn't like to say. I wouldn't think so. But I really don't know. Totally speculation, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. But, I mean, the bottom line is that you'd have to have a pretty substantial speaker system, probably some amplifiers, and you'd probably have to have some sort of independent power source to get those things out in the woods. Because a lot of these videos seem to be, there's one really specific one coming out, I want to say, of Oregon, where there's a bunch of guys who are out, you know, cutting down trees, you know, logger guys. And they're stopping and looking around trying to figure out where this noise is coming from. And, man, I just got to say I'm really looking forward to talking about this with Anthony Patch tonight. I think that this is going to be an amazing, amazing show on the Freaky Friday this evening, gentlemen.
Definitely, yeah. Because this all ties back into CERN, Marty. Well, it just ties everything together. It puts a neat little bow on all of it. But this isn't the only kind of stuff we're going to be covering tonight, folks. Have notepads, pens ready. This really is going to be full speed down the woo hole tonight. Let me warn you.
Love it. Well, what do you guys think about this whole disclosure about scientists being able to levitate objects with sound now? I mean, this seems to me like, obviously, we look at the freaking pyramids. Isn't that how most of us believe that the pyramids were built? And you look at the Coral Castle down in Florida. It's just crazy, you know? So, Marty, what do you think about this new disclosure that scientists can, in fact, levitate objects using nothing but sound?
Well, I wouldn't believe them that it was a new discovery, because we've talked about on the show before, on the Freaky Fridays especially, that somehow, you know, these pyramids and stuff and the movement of these big stones and stuff that we can't even lift today with certain cranes and stuff leads you to believe that were they doing some sort of chanting, or was it some sort of frequency vibration that was actually lifting those stones into place?
Mm-hmm.
You know, a bit of suppressed knowledge that they've hidden back. I think the power of sound waves is really underestimated.
Oh, it's huge. I mean, we had a really amazing, amazing story about Alzheimer's earlier this week in the health news, where these people, I want to say again in Switzerland, I don't know why the Swiss are so far ahead of everybody, but they are using targeted ultrasonic sound to break up plaque inside of people's brains, which is, you know, one of the major causes of the Alzheimer's condition. So, you know, when they're disclosing that they can use sound as a healing mechanism, that seems to me to be pretty substantial, but again, not necessarily a new discovery. What do you guys think?
I don't think the sound thing is anything new at all. You know, I think sound can be used for so many things. We could use it to clean up irradiated water. We can use it for health purposes. And when it comes to the building of these ancient megalithic sites, I definitely think it was acoustics that was used. We even have the likes of the Templars, who arrived here in Scotland, no less, and they encoded 216 cymatic codes into the roof of Roslyn Chapel. Now, if that doesn't tell you that these people were using a that was acoustic based. I do not know, Marty.
Yeah, that's the thing. And you bring up the Earth's acoustics there and the whole cymatics thing. But when you really look into that and study it and see the power behind it, and then you think of how all these energy grids and how everything connects across the planet. And then let's go back, take a step back to these sounds in the sky. They don't seem so far-fetched when we see all these Earth changes going on. Surely it could give off some sort of sound now and again, like Earth groaning, groaning pains, you know, stuff like that. Earth pains. Yeah.
Well, there's tons of evidence out there that before an earthquake goes off, even as much as like 6 hours before that, the Earth will emit, you know, ultra low frequencies, because we believe that's what the animals are reacting to when they're out in the woods. So to me, it's like if the world can produce ultra low frequencies, then what would be stopping it from producing frequencies that would be audible for us, especially after speaking with Stan yesterday, and he was telling me that the Schumann resonance has actually changed on the planet. I believe it's either doubled or halved. I'm not really entirely sure. But again, you know, the frequency of the Earth is in fact changing right now, Kevin.
And you know, that makes me wonder. We keep getting told that people that are taking their socks and shoes off and connecting with the Earth, they're having amazing healing properties actually carried out on them right now. Could it be something to do with that actual vibration? But you mentioned these waves or these sounds that are sometimes emitted before earthquakes, and you're bang on, because Clyde Lewis, he had on Bill Burns, and they were talking just before the Nepal quake about a strange noise that had been recorded underwater. And it was Bill Burns who had said, you know, that we have P waves generated in the build-up to big quakes, volcanoes going off and stuff like that. And then bang, 3 days later or something like that, or it was just a day later, we had the Nepal quake. So there's definitely telltale signs that the Earth gives. The animals do pick them up. We even had that tribe over when the Sumatra tsunami took place. They went up to high land, I believe it was 2 days beforehand. So they were picking up on something.
It just makes me wonder. I mean, everything really at this point this morning is going to make me wonder, but I really, really am trying to get my mind around these noises from the sky and whether or not they could be being emanated to try and open up a portal. And I know I'm not trying to jump the gun on the show this evening, but it seems like if we've got scientists coming out saying that there are, in fact, methods for manipulating matter. We know about cymatics. You guys mentioned the Roslyn Chapel, which tells me a lot about how far back this knowledge actually goes. It seems like they are trying to apply some of this old ancient knowledge, and who knows what they're trying to do with it, Kevin?
Who only knows? And you know, TFR, we're certainly asking the right questions right now. This really is the leading edge of science, basically, that we're talking about. And it's exciting, exciting times. And it's good to talk about these sounds, and we're not giving anything away about tonight. But you know, yet again, everything will be connected later on. And I just see in the chat there, guess who's wandered into the chat room? The one and only Johnny Whistles. Big shout out to the other KBS host in there just now.
Absolutely. Absolutely love Mr. Whistles, man. Those Whistlebot reports, I'll tell you what, they are about as spot on as anything you can find on the internet, guys.
Well, we've recalibrated his machine now, haven't we, Marty? Because it was like looking back. But now we think we've got it tuned, and he's giving us future reports, I think.
Oh, wow.
we hope so, unless the dinosaur, because they actually reported that there would be an asteroid that would be due to wipe out the dinosaurs. Me and Kev was like, damn.
That's pretty accurate. He predicted the Carrington event the other day too, and I'm telling you, man, he was spot on with that. The guy does not miss a thing.
The thing though, right? You could look at the dinosaurs as being past or future, because we've got the chicken with the dinosaur's face that our one and only Melissa Dykes reported on. Mm-hmm. They obviously have a show here as well, and they've got Truth Stream Media. And you know, who knows what timeline will be on this time tomorrow anyway. And whether, JD, it'll be Berenstain or Berenstain.
Oh, man.
Come on, man, I had to take you there.
I tell you, the more I look into that, the more I am absolutely convinced that we are on an alternate timeline, gentlemen. My main fear is that they've somehow figured out a way to loop the timeline so that we're not going to get out of it. But for folks out there that have not looked into this Berenstain Bears thing, it's not just, that's the tip of the iceberg. A lot of people out there will tell you Nelson Mandela died and now he's back. And a lot of people, I had a report from somebody in the UK talking about Dick Clark passing away and then all of a sudden being back on television again. So there's all kinds of these just goofy issues out there that go against the grain of our collective memory in such a profound way. I was talking to Mr. Geo the other day, who was talking about the Berenstain Bears, and I said, you know, it reminds me of all the beautiful childhood memories I have of watching Sesame Street with my favorite characters, Big Bard and Snoofaloopagus. You know, because that's, to me, is exactly how ridiculous this idea that the Berenstain Bears is spelled with an A. I would not have had a problem figuring that out phonetically. I would be, I would have been ahead of the curve in order to actually say the word stain. It's not a difficult thing, you know, and why do all of us really fundamentally believe that it was Stein? It doesn't make sense to me, guys.
Well, you know, Chris, Geo, and Cherie, they spent the first hour of their show on this, and I believe it was Friday night, Saturday morning kind of time. You can get it in the archives, folks. And they were absolutely fantastic when they spoke about this. Now, they played a clip from somebody. Now, this clip was talking about this very thing, the fact that what used to be Berenstain, uh-huh, is now Berenstain. And they said that they found in some TV listings that the name actually changed on that around the time of, get this, September the 11th, 2001.
Wait a minute. Wait, I just got a whole body tingles.
It gets worse than this. It gets worse than this, because this video, and we'll be able to get it off Chris Geo, and it'll be on his show, you can hear that. It was actually saying, well, how about you think about it this way? We see all the ritualistic, symbolic elements to 9/11. How about we look upon it as some kind of tuning fork? And you know, that could well have been the size of event needed to put us onto some kind of different timeline.
Or you use that tuning fork to do it, and then you destroy the tuning fork immediately thereafter.
Well, you had the Liberty Bell as well. It was sitting at the bottom, wasn't it, of Ground Zero. There's a whole heap of stuff. You had the Solomon Building, of course, Solomon's Temple, and on the Masonic board, that represents no time. So it's all time-related there as well. And, you know, it's just much strangeness. It really, really is. And all this time stuff, it takes a lot to get your head around. But the way I'm looking at this is, it's got to be more of a timeline shift as opposed to time travel, Marty, because how would you be able to change the collective memories of everyone? Everyone would remember what you changed it to, because they would have still lived that alteration that you made in the past. But your thoughts on that, man?
Yeah, very, 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 very fascinating discussion, the whole time thing and parallels and stuff, especially after watching that movie, Kev. Thanks for that. But it does make me think, is there another version of us somewhere living in some post-apocalyptic world? Did the world end in 2012 for some other timeline? You know, it really does make you think, because there's just billions upon billions of galaxies out there and Earth-like things, and scientists really don't know, do they? They're scratching their head at the minute, they're doing all these experiments. Well, they say they don't know, but I think it's quite evident that there's something more to it. Definitely, people say that there could be another timeline existing right now within the space that we're in, and somebody else living in your house, and it is really fascinating.
Well, you know, I was listening to an interview on, I want to say it was the Camelot program the other day, and they were interviewing a guy who was an astrophysicist named Kalami, and he was talking about how time essentially exists in many, many parallel forms, but that there are, in fact, really key incidents, the kind of pillars of incidents that tie everyone together, something that you would have to have that everyone would be able to focus on. And he picked 9/11 as one of those events that sort of had to happen in time to continue us moving down the path that we're on. And I just found that to be really interesting, this idea that there could be, you know, in fact, many, many parallel timelines, but that they're all tied together by some of these kind of catastrophic incidents. And if you were part of this elite group of people, you would be able to figure out what those catastrophic incidents were, make sure that they happened, regardless of the ramifications of, you know, global war and all of that kind of stuff, in order to kind of control things. What do you think, Kev?
I definitely agree, and you know, this takes us all back to CERN, really, because the kind of physics, from a purely scientific point of view, the kind of physics that they're breaking down right now and trying to turn from theory into experimental fact, I mean, this will prove things like supersymmetry. Mm-hmm. Now, supersymmetry means that for every particle that ever came into existence after the Big Bang, it's got an exact replica outside of this dimension. Well, that means then, theoretically, obviously, that there should be another version of all of this, pretty similar to what is going on right here. And one show that really did kind of lift the veil off of this, again, the puns with the veils and dimensions, was Fringe. Now, this was by J.J. Abrams, one of the selected Illuminati directors for sure. He's done the Star Trek film where they mention Nibiru at the start. He does all the big movies. He's taken over from George Lucas. Well, in this series, we do have a parallel dimension. And one of the epic finale scenes is when we get our first glimpse of the alternate universe, the altverse. And it's a window frame, what somebody looking out of it. And, you know, it pans out. And as it's pulling out from the window frame, it struck me what was happening. And what was happening was this parallel universe. 9/11 hadn't happened, folks. And the Twin Towers were still there.
Holy cow. I just think there's so much more going on than meets the eye. And, you know, getting us back onto this Berenstain Bears thing and the research that I've done with that, and also talking to Anthony Patch and the connection between CERN and Saturn, I thought, wouldn't it be interesting if there was a connection between this Berenstain Bears issue and Saturn? And wouldn't you know
it? Saturn's called Kronos, time.
That's right. That's right. He's the guardian of time, really, essentially. And that's, again, it all comes back to this time issue. But I've discovered a certain episode of the Berenstain Bears, and wouldn't you know it, it's called The Bad Dream, which I think is very, very interesting in and of itself. But it is loaded up, gentlemen, with Saturn symbology. They talk about, it's basically them watching a movie about some of these space characters. One of them is a good guy and one of them is an evil villain. And the evil villain is just completely decked out in Saturn memorabilia. And again, it's in a freaking Berenstain Bears issue or an episode. And the number 8 comes up a whole lot. Have you guys looked into the connection between Saturn and the number 8 and CERN and all of that stuff, guys?
Well, I haven't, but the number 8 strikes me as something that it's the infinity symbol as well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you look at these things called Birkeland currents, and this is something we're going to be looking at tonight, these are things, electrical currents in space. We can see them, certain nebula display them, and they are like the infinity, the symbol number 8. Now, you mentioned Saturn there, and people like Jordan Maxwell and David Icke, they'll tie in the Saturn Alien Brotherhood, the black robes of judges and the legal profession.
That's right.
Well, we do have another black-robed army on the planet right now, and they're called Islamic State.
Well, that's interesting. Do you think there's a connection there to be made, Kev?
Well, when it comes to black and the black pajamas, as I call them, you know me, I look for connections on that kind of metaphysical kind of level. And yeah, I don't see it as being any, well, it's something we have to look at, in my opinion, anyway. Especially when there's people talking about end times and the fact that these ISIS sometimes appear to be having supernatural kind of abilities. Just the fact that few of them can overrun so many soldiers. Now, I know, guys, don't get me wrong, I'm not losing sight of that, but there is a crazy blood cult at work there as well.
Mm-hmm. And it does tie into what these elitists want. When we had the story earlier today, Marty, before you got here, I don't know if you heard that Judicial Watch, which is a major, major watchdog group here, they basically are relentless at going after the government with frequent freedom of information requests and things like that. They disclosed about 100 documents late last night, essentially outlining the fact that the Obama administration knew absolutely that they were going to cultivate this group ISIS and that they were going to use them inside of Syria to destabilize Assad. And of course, all of us crazy conspiracy theorists, we've been saying that for weeks and weeks and weeks, if not months. And here, lo and behold, now, you know, being disclosed from the DOD and the State Department, that is exactly what the effect is. So, you know, coming back to this idea that the elites are trying to, either they're running CERN, they're running the world, they're doing all this other stuff, it would make sense that they would have kind of a black pajama army, would it not?
Oh, absolutely, yeah, and it all ties into I think it's if prophecies. It's kind of like the Bible end times prophecies, but within the Quran, and it talks about this black flag army and, you know, the lands that they go into, which they're in now, and it talks about the caliphate and stuff like that. So it really is something that I see as being created. I don't know. It truthfully seems to me like they're leading us down some sort of, path where they're really going to reshape the whole Middle East. There's talk of a greater Israel. There's talk of taking Iran. There's talk of splitting all the different Muslim communities up against each other. You know, the Sunnis, the Shias, the Alawites, keep them all separate. And for the reason of control, they don't want unity throughout the Muslim world the same way they don't want it through the Christian world or any other world. It doesn't matter what you believe in, really. It's the whole divide and conquer agenda. But definitely with Syria, man, we've been saying this for the last 15 months since we've started the show there, about the agenda and what's going on. And we actually shown a lot of evidence to suggest that this wasn't a genuine uprising in Syria. These guys were flying across the border in the droves.
That's right.
Convoys of them with the black flags and the black clothes and the black jeeps and all brand new stuff. You know, there was some heavy financing went into them.
Oh, huge, huge logistical operation getting those people funded. And then think about the interaction between Turkey, you know, obviously a NATO member, but they have a porous border and they're basically at the forefront of arming all of these guys right now. And Kev, you just brought up an awesome point in the chat room. Caliphate. I mean, seriously, I hadn't even thought of that, but talk about that word for just a quick second and what you're talking about when you say that, Kev.
Well, Marty brought it up there, and this is the idea of a Islamic caliphate. It's one Islamic state with Sharia law. And of course, we were talking earlier on about the Charlie. Mm-hmm. That led me to Kali, being the twin deity of Shiva, the goddess, of course. And then caliphate. You know, it means nothing probably, but it's just, I love how words sometimes, they're magical spells and into themselves. And we do literally spell out words.
Yes.
They're all vibrations. We're even told that the creator spoke this universe into existence. A vibration, a sound. It doesn't matter what book you come from. There is a source. There is some kind of architect out there. And, it, you know, again, just all down to sounds and vibrations. Sorry to lead you off track there.
Oh, you're not leading me off track at all. All I keep coming back to is this idea. I thought we learned a very important safety lesson from the movie Ghostbusters and Dr. Egon when he said, don't cross the streams because it would be bad. And here we are doing exactly that, not only with the Charlie thing, but what's going on at CERN. Wow. You know, I mean, seriously, that was important safety advice, according to Dr. Egon. So I don't understand why these guys wouldn't heed it. You know what I mean?
Interesting times, I think the Chinese said.
I think that's very accurate. Well, gentlemen, I am stupidly excited about having Anthony Patch on the program this evening and also getting another opportunity to hang out with all of you fine gentlemen. Really looking forward to having Mr. Johnny Whistles on. Now, do we know if Joe is going to be on as well with us tonight, guys?
Anthony Patch on. You try and keep Joe Joseph out of there. He'll certainly be joining us, man. Yeah, I really can't wait for this. 6 hours from now, Freaky Friday. This is going to be amazing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it has been an amazing morning so far. I really just want to take an opportunity to thank both you and Marty for gracing us with your presence this morning. Absolutely. Just such a pleasure to, A, share some airwaves with you guys. Getting to do it once a week is never enough, and getting an extra opportunity this morning has just been absolutely astounding, guys. I really appreciate you guys both taking some time out of your schedules to join us this morning.
Well, it's like Nanonite. A red pill is the perfect antidote to the New World Order, Marty.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think you're doing a great job, JD, and it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me on, brother.
Oh, absolutely, man. We're just trying to be part of the Daily Dose of Deprogramming, and I know that's kind of the goal of all the hosts here at True Frequency Radio. So I'm going to bid you guys a very fond farewell and say goodbye to all the listeners out there. Really appreciate you guys tuning into the chat room this morning. Please don't go anywhere. Stick it right here. Roger Sales' excellent show is coming up. Robert Bruce will be on here in a little while after that. And we have got a full lineup on the Freaky Friday show this evening. And I look forward to seeing all of you in the chat room again. You guys take care. We will see you guys again in just a few hours. Good luck out there. Keep your head on a swivel and don't let the man...
Truth Frequency Radio is your number one source for news and information. Without the hate, hype, and fear, we are proud to bring you cutting-edge programs like The Kev Baker Show,
The Christopher Everard Show,
The Freedom Link with Joe Joseph,
Truth Frequency with Chris and Shuri Geo,
Red Pill Reports
with J.D. Moore,
X-Squared with Brooks Agnew,
Down the Rabbit Hole with Popeye,
Freaky Friday
with The Woo Crew,
Waking Up the Masses
with Robert Bruce,
Phoenix Rising Radio,
and dozens more.
Did you know you can listen from any computer, mobile device, or from any telephone by dialing 832-225-5308.
Or call into your favorite show toll-free at 866-37-TRUE.
Uncensored talk and news you won't hear in the mainstream media.
24 hours a day.
Truth Frequency Radio. Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.